This week, in my preparation for the sermon, I did an inordinate amount of time in prayer. I went to the Lord every day, multiple times a day. And I said, God, give me something. What do you have to say? And it was like Thursday, and I came up with nothing. I was blank as a dry erase board. No idea. Okay, now, if you know me, by Thursday, the sermon is written. Friday, I'm off. Saturday, I'm off. Sunday morning, it's polished. And then we come out here, and it gets delivered. So by Thursday, I'm starting to get a little really antsy and nervous. And I said to Charity, I was like, hey, I got nothing. And this doesn't happen. I need you to pray with me. And she says to me, that's funny. God's given me a whole lot. And I was like, okay, well, tell me what he gave you. Maybe I can use some of it. And she started pouring out, like, a lot of things that God had given her. And she's like, I don't know why I have this. I don't know what's going on with this. And I said, I have an idea. I need you to help me with the sermon on Sunday morning. I said, because I can preach at moms and I can preach at a congregation about a great mother. And I can show you scripturally a whole lot of mom isms that we can find out of there. But I also thought it would be beneficial to get a mom's point of view or perspective. So I'm going to have Charity help me this morning. So if you would help me welcome her to my stage or to the stage. She gets a chair too. They're even matching. His and her chairs. All right, so if you know Charity, this is not her comfort zone. I am stretching her boundaries a little bit here.
A lot.
And you're going to need a mic.
Okay.
You grab a mic over there. And so I said to her, I said, will you help me? Will you get on stage? Will you do that? Can I just maybe even just interview you? You know, how would that go? And she said, well.
I said no.
No. She did. She said no. Here she is. Right?
She is awesome. Shaking like a leaf.
She is awesome. Is that one on?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I don't know how you do this every week. Sorry, it's scary.
Charity, how long have you been a mother?
Almost 12 years.
Hey, can you turn her up? Do you know how to do that? Here, just give her this one.
Oh, gosh.
Clip that on you. All right. I'm good. I'll just talk loud. Thank you. Okay. All right. Charity, how long have you been a mother?
Almost 12 years.
How long have you wanted to be a mother?
My entire life. I was always the kid who always had a baby doll. And you know how some girls or kids have imaginary friends? I had imaginary kids. There were five of them. It was Tara, Dara, Kara, Sarah, and Jim.
Jim.
And, yeah, Jim. No idea. Anyway, I used to get mad at my mom. If she would close the car door, I would be like, you just closed the car door on my kids. And she would have to open the car door up and, like, let them all in. I'm like, okay, now you can buckle them all up, you know, and just make sure they were all okay before we could go on with our day. And I used to drive her crazy, but there was no friends. They were just my kids, and they went everywhere, and I don't know. So forever, I've just wanted to be a mom.
Tell me about, okay, so as you're a kid, you know, and you're kind of picturing what motherhood's going to be like. What did you expect as a child? How did you think things were going to go?
I think when you're a kid, you don't really, fully grasp or understand all the stuff that goes into being a mom because you don't have a frame of reference. You really don't understand. You just see all the good stuff. You're like, all right, mom has breakfast, she has lunch, she has dinner, you know, we play together, we do all this stuff, but you don't really, I guess, fully understand what goes into that, and you don't see the tears and the blood and the sweat and all the stuff that really goes into it in the mom's heart because you just don't, you can't understand it until you are a mom, and then you're able to kind of more appreciate, you know, what she did for you.
So then, I guess, tell me about now. What are some expectations that you would have as a mom?
First I have a story for you.
Okay.
So when Caleb came home from the hospital, he had to be in the hospital for about a week after he was born. And first time mom, first kid, you know, the whole time you're pregnant, you think, all right, we're going to go home from the hospital together. We're going to just have this life. It's going to be great. And that didn't happen with Caleb. He had a few minor complications, not a big deal. But he had to stay in the hospital for a week. So we went home, and we were staying like what was like an hour and a half away from him at the hospital. Mm-hmm. We were kind of far away. So about a week later, he finally gets to come home. And by that point, you know, my parents were back at work, and his parents weren't really around, and it was just the two of us. And we go home from the hospital, and we walk into the house, and we set the baby down in the carrier, you know, and we look at each other, and we're like, now what do we do? You know, like, nobody told us about this part. And so we're looking at each other like, he doesn't need anything, so now what?
I literally said, okay, now what?
Yeah, we didn't, we had no idea what to do. So it was like he was a tourist in our house. We picked him up and carried him around the house. We're like, this is your bedroom, and this is where you're going to sleep, and here's the bathroom. And we showed him around the house because we just really weren't sure what to do, and we kind of felt stupid now. But, I mean, you just don't know what to expect because it was like, who gave us this baby, and why on earth did they leave this kid with us? Because I don't know what to do anymore. You know, it was like everything you thought you knew and prepared for went out the window. So it's night one. And I'm like, all right, I got this together. Okay, I think I'm doing a pretty good job. So he's in bed asleep, and he likes to sleep. You don't wake him up. So he's asleep, and I'm trying really hard to be really quiet, and I've got the baby, and he's, you know, I get him to sleep, and I'm thinking, all right, now I have to pee. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to put him down. I'm just going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to hold the baby. It'll be good. Then we'll put him to sleep afterwards. You know, I didn't want to wake him up. Get in the bathroom, go pee, wash my hands, and I'm doing great. I turn to flip the light. Whack his head right in the door. Like, oh my gosh, I just started crying and bawling. I'm like, here we are, day one. All my expectations went out the window. You know, everything that I thought I was ready for, no, I failed. So I just sat there bawling my eyes out, like, I've just broken my baby, you know, the very first day. So I think, like, the stuff you expect to happen is not, you know, really always what happens.
Yeah, you didn't really expect to bash your baby's
head. No, not on night one.
I just bashed because that sounds...
It was pretty accurate.
Right.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. He likes to remind me of that story now. Like, you don't remember that.
Now, I know as, just as a dad, mm-hmm. that there are, like, some outward expectations that I don't know if people know they put it on parents or if it's just societal or what it is, but there are some societal expectations that are, or an external expectation mm-hmm. that people have of a mom. What's that like?
It's a lot of pressure, I think, because I mean, especially in today's day and age where you have Facebook and you have all of these outside pressures and you have, you know, you're trying to live, there's this whole social media aspect where people post on Facebook and you see all the highlights and you see all the good stuff, but you're not really seeing the reality, you know, like no one posts their laundry pile and like, look how much laundry I have to do, or nobody posts the pictures of their sink overflowing with dishes or, you know, all the bad stuff because you don't want people to see that. And so I think it's easy to put too much expectations on ourselves, and we kind of put pressure on ourselves as moms because we're trying to like compare, I guess, other people's highlight reels with our bloopers, you know, and we mess up every day, and it's kind of scary because you don't see what's really going on behind that. And I think, honestly, if all of us moms were really honest, we all have our bad days, and we all have those days where we think we're not measuring up, and we're screwing this up, and we're going to mess our kids up, you know, if we're really honest with ourselves, but that's because we're comparing ourselves with others. And
you talk about that comparison, and something that even we talked about it in our last youth group was somehow we made it to the Ten Commandments. And anyhow, we were looking at it, and it says, you shouldn't covet mm-hmm. your neighbor's anything. And I said to them, that's probably the hardest one to keep, is to not covet. You know, because we look at other people's stuff, like, I want that. I want what they have. And just kind of like what you're saying, you're like, you look at Facebook, like, man, I wish I was as good a mom as that person. Mm-hmm. And really, in that covetousness, we're kind of sinning mm-hmm. against ourselves and God. Mm-hmm. That's tough.
I know that's something like, I'm in a group of a Facebook group with some homeschool moms because we homeschool. And it's something we've been talking about a lot lately, is that we have to be real with each other. So we're trying to be honest, and we like send each other pictures like, hey, look at what I failed at today. We didn't even get to this class, you know, and we're kind of just, we make light of it, but we're just being real with each other because you can't really grow and you can't encourage each other when you have that wall up or you're pretending to be something. It's not until you're honest and raw and, you know, just get down to the ugly with each other and be real and say, hey, you know, help me. I'm not, you know, I can't do this on my own. And then you're able to, I think we've seen a lot of growth among ourselves. And when we just finally stopped putting up that pretend picture of, you know, perfection and just kind of got real with each other, it was a lot different.
Mm-hmm. And I think there was a scripture that we talked about in Lamentations. Mm-hmm. Is that coming up here?
It's coming up.
All right. So through the expectations, I think it changes a little bit, too, depending on where you are and where your children are. Mm-hmm. And often I hear it referred to as different seasons of life. Let's talk about some of the seasons of being a parent or the children are in.
I think obviously there's the baby phase. You know, when you start out, it's all, you know, great and fresh and new. But I guess each new season brings its own challenges and its own set of differences. You know, like you can get past the baby phase and then you move on. And as you get through each new stage, it brings a new challenge and there's something different, you know. And by no means are we saying we have it all figured out, because trust me, we mess up every single day. And I yell at my kids just as much as you probably do. So it's okay. You know, we all mess up every day and that's all right. But each season brings a totally different aspect and a whole new, you know, perspective to it. And I think sometimes too, like, we can get so focused on what's going on in that particular season, you know, when you're sleep deprived and you're tired and you are just going through the motions with the baby in that phase and you're just like, I'm so tired, I can't wait till they're a toddler, and you can miss the good stuff that's going on because you're so focused on the bad, because that's everyday reality. And so you have to be careful, because when you step back, like, our kids now are 11, 10, and 8, and it's a totally different thing, and I miss those days, and I miss that stuff, because now I have a different frame of reference, you know, we're on to a whole nother, I can see a bigger picture, I guess, and I'm not so focused in on, you know, what was going on back then, so,
right, you know. It's easy to get tunnel vision when you're,
yeah, absolutely,
when you're focused just on one particular season, and we talked about that, just kind of when we were preparing for this, that probably one of the toughest thing about parenting is getting that frame of reference in the season that the children are in. And I mean, even I'll be 36 in a few weeks, but my mom still looks at me as I'm not in that season, you know what I mean? That she still sees her baby boy, especially me being the only child. And that's hard, you know, because we get that focus, and it's hard to frame it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It really is.
Well, like the other day was a particularly bad day at our house, I was telling myself. And I lost my temper with my kids. You know, it happens. And I was like, this is ridiculous now, but I'm like yelling at them, stop yelling at your brother, you know, and I'm like, how stupid do I sound in that moment? You know, I'm doing the exact thing I'm telling you not to do. Here I am yelling and screaming. And I had to stop and was just like, you've got to stop and refocus and rethink about what's going on. Like, it's my job to shepherd their hearts, and I'm not teaching them if I'm yelling and acting, you know, crazy and all out of control. I just have to breathe and take a minute, you know. And I started praying that day, and I was like, God, I don't know, I just screwed up bad. You know, like, I've really messed everything up here. Help me, because I can't get past this. You know, I've got to apologize to them, and I did. But the verse kept coming to my mind. That's the Lamentations up here, and it just says, you know, His mercies are new every morning, and great is Thy faithfulness. And that kept playing through my head all day, and I just think I was thankful, you know, that every day was a new day and a new opportunity. And sometimes you have to take the hour by hour, and it's like, all right, so that was the 3 o'clock hour. From 4 o'clock on, we're gonna be okay. You know, and just take it in small increments, but His grace is enough, and He forgives. So
you know I'm going to relate that to food, right?
Oh, my gosh, of course.
So if you're on a diet, let's say you're eating really, really well, and you mess up at 12:30 and you have a candy bar, that doesn't mean you blew your entire diet, right? It didn't blow your entire day. Just pick up where you left off, right? Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. what you're saying. That's how I understand what you're saying to me, because I like to eat.
Yes, right. Food terms.
Yeah, if I didn't get my protein, never mind. That's a different term.
Yeah, move on.
Move it on. All right, what else about seasons? Anything else that we need to touch on?
I don't think so.
All right, let's talk about... I just want to talk about just one more thing with seasons, sorry.
Okay.
And that's embracing the challenges that come with it. Mm-hmm. I heard a sermon priest one time that said... love the mud or have fun in the mud or something like that. And it was about the kids in the car. You know, they wore their cleats in the car and they got mud all over the back seat of the car. And the parents were kind of fussing. They're like, oh my goodness, I just cleaned out this car. And then he said he literally stopped. He's like, one day there won't be mud anywhere. And that kind of hit me, like, okay, there's one day there's not going to be a mess. So we should at least embrace it. As much as I hate mud in my car. Right? Yeah, so that's just something I wanted to touch on there with that. Okay, move on.
Okay.
What we got next?
Advice.
What is some advice you would give as a mom?
It kind of goes with what you were saying just a minute ago. Like, you need to love each season and love your kids through every single season, because... I think the world puts enough outside pressures and expectations on your kids, so you need to be their biggest cheerleader. especially in today's society, with when they're in school and there's bullying, and it's not just in person, but it's like also online, and kids are mean. And especially when you go through that preteen to teen transition years, and we're just getting there, and oh my goodness, it's a nightmare. And we're just in the beginning, and we have a boy, so it's different. But I mean, I can't even imagine with girls. It's just, it's scary, you know, and people are so mean. And so I think we have to be careful to make sure that we're not criticizing our kids and adding that to them. I mean, there's a time to correct, but we have to make sure that we are their biggest cheerleader and we're really cheering them on, because they have enough outside pressures and stuff. We have to be that safe place where they feel like they can talk to us and we can be there for them.
Right. And someone told me once, and I don't, tell me if you agree with this, being a parent is probably the loneliest thing they've ever done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about that for me.
It can be lonely because you feel like you're in this season and you're just, you get so focused in on what's going on with your kids and your house, and you kind of think, okay, nobody else has ever had this problem, but that's not true. I mean, there's so many other people you can reach out to. And I think that's another thing. I would just encourage everybody to find somebody you can talk to. Find those friends. Find that mom. Find someone who's either been there or who has going through that with you, and you guys can kind of do life together and support each other through that. I know there's lots of moms here who, like, I go to because you've been through that before, and I can say, hey, what did you do at this point, you know, because I don't know what to do, especially with Riley and, sorry, the girls and the moods and stuff, you know, like, I don't know how to handle this. This is new for me, so what do I do? And there's so many of you who've already been through it, and you guys have been a big help to me, so I think you have to reach out to people, your family members. Like, we're lucky our parents are always great, which that's something we miss having here, yeah. Because, you know, they were always right there. So I think you just have to, like, make sure that you are reaching out. Don't isolate yourself and be even more lonely than you are, because parenting can be really lonely if you're not careful.
Right. And I would tell you that I'm not lonely.
Well, good. It's too noisy at our house to be lonely.
But I can understand, I can see that, where, you know, you kind of feel like you're the only one going through it. And then, so then, take that back to the expectations that we talked about. And, you know, you start comparing yourself to how other people are. And you're like, I shouldn't be feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. And then you start inwardly kind of withdrawing because, well, they're not lonely. I shouldn't be lonely. I'm lonely by myself.
It's one of those things that you don't talk about because you don't want to be like, hey, you know, I'm kind of feeling lonely today. You don't say that. You don't just go tell people that. So, I mean, it's almost a shame attached to it, where moms are kind of almost embarrassed to say, hey, I'm struggling right now, because you feel like you have to have it all together, and you don't. We absolutely, none of us have it all together. You know, embrace the mess, embrace the chaos, because behind every perfect house picture you see, there's room, like, usually the parents' bedroom, that is a mess. That's where the catch-all is. So, I mean, don't feel like you have to have it all together, you know?
Yeah. And I would also add that one thing that we're, I guess, figuring out is, or getting better at, is nurturing our relationship as husband and wife and as dad and mom. I wanted to show, I have a proverb scripture. Is that next? All right. I want to show this scripture. This is Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So there's a whole lot we can do with that. But our kids, or our children, one thing I think we're pretty good at is grossing them out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To the point, like, when Caden sees me get close to Charity, he will start shouting, fight, fight, and puts his hands up in the air and he starts dancing. We're not fighting. It's just a connected, you know, we're being connected. And I want him to see, and I want my boys to see,
you're good.
But what I want my boys to see is how to love their wife or their spouse. And I never, ever, ever want them to say, Dad didn't love Mom. I don't want them to ever even have that in their mind, that Dad didn't love Mom and Dad didn't support Mom. And so that's one of the ways I am training up my boys. Reciprocate that to Riley. I want her to see how she is to be treated. Right? Riley and I have a pretty special relationship, and I want her to see that she is a princess and that no one should ever treat her less than that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. All right, what else? You got anything to add on this?
No, you're good. One day our kids are going to be gone, so we have to be mindful that if we don't take care of our relationship now, one day we are going to have an empty house. And it's easy when you're in the hard parts of parenting and you're busy and you're running here and you're running there to kind of lose track of each other, because you just are in mom and dad mode. And I think you have to be really careful, because if you don't, one day you're going to look back and it's 20 years from now and your kids are gone and you're sitting there staring at each other like, what now? We have nothing in common because we haven't talked in 20 years. So you have to be really careful that you nurture that relationship. And sometimes it's hard to make time for each other. And something we've started doing is getting up earlier than the kids. And that's been great. It starts our day out really well. I mean, it's just a half an hour. We just sit there together and talk and pray and start our morning out. And there's a huge difference in how our days go when we just have that few minutes to each other and just to talk. And, you know, praying together at night, stuff you preached on a few weeks ago, and just really making that time. Because, honestly, Satan is attacking Christian marriages right now. He would love nothing more than to see them be destroyed. Because if he can attack the marriages, then the kids, and it all just trickles down. So you have to be careful and make sure that you're staying really strong because he wants to tear them apart.
Yeah. I think one thing, like, since we're on advice, one advice I would give to dads or husbands is to encourage your wife. I guess something that I even missed was, hey, you're doing great. Don't worry about, you know, I mean, the laundry or whatever it is. You know, we'll get it taken care of. The kids are eating. They don't appear to be malnourished or bleeding. So we're good, you know. But just encourage your wives and just let them know that you recognize what they do. Because I've said before, no one knows what mom does until mom don't do it. Right? No one notices what mom is doing until mom stops doing it. And then you're like, hey, I don't have clean underwear. And I just washed the same fork again. Right? Okay. That was just some of my advice to give.
I think, too, like, it's really easy to not even notice that moms are insecure because you just look at the woman in your life and you think, oh, she's got it all together. She's got it under control. And you can miss it if you're not careful and you're not really, if you have, that's why that connection is so important where you're talking and you keep those open communication. Cause if you don't, you're going to miss it. Cause I mean, that's something we just even recently have been through. You had no idea. You're like, I thought you were good. And I'm like, no, you have no idea the kind of things that go through my head or how I'm really feeling. And so, you know, it's something we've had to like be honest and be real with each other. And sometimes it's hard conversations that I don't want to tell them how I really feel, you know, because it's scary to let someone know how vulnerable you are. But I think it's been good because you've been able to be like, no, you're not screwing this all up. You're okay. You know, and it's been helpful for me to, you know, have that encouragement.
Right. Good. Good. What other advice would you give?
Pray for your kids and pray with them. Because with praying for them and praying with them, you really get to know their hearts. And I think you have to, it's being that safe place where they feel like they can come and talk to you. And if you don't know their heart and you don't have that connection with them, you're not going to really understand what they're going through. And I think if you, I know with one of our kids, he came to me recently and he was like, Mom, pray for me. Just don't stop praying for me. And it broke my heart. I'm like, I will never, ever stop praying for you, you know? And I just sobbed with him because he was struggling with something. And it just broke my heart, and like, I pray for you every single day. And I think he didn't realize that I did, even though I prayed with him, I don't think he realized just how much I do pray for him. And I was able to tell him, hey, look, you know, I'm not going to ever stop. I'm never giving up on you. We're going to get through this together. It's going to be okay. Just talk to me, you know. And it kind of helped me to see his heart and see what he was struggling with and kind of where that was coming from. Instead of, it was really easy to be like, oh, you're wrong because blah, 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 and not really understand the heart and what was going on in his thought process in that action, if that makes sense, you know. And so by praying with him and for him, and you know, we were able to kind of, I guess, navigate that and see where he was coming from and understand it better, and we were able to kind of tackle it. And
it doesn't stop when they get out of the house either.
Oh, no.
And then grandparents are great. I know how much grandparents pray for us as their children, and then also our children too. And how many people does it take to raise kids? And then think about how easy is it from far away. You know, our parents are 5.5 hours away, right around there. But they can still pray to the God that sees all, knows all. And he's lifting up our children. Just as, you know, we come together and we pray with our kids, for our kids. You know, I mean, we try to cover it all. But yeah, absolutely. Prayer is something that's so simple but gets overlooked. I think in its simplicity, I think it gets overlooked. I really do, because people are, we're busy. We're busy, busy people, and we think, okay, the night is over. Anybody ever exhale when your kids go to bed?
Yes.
Just like,
every day.
Praise Jesus, right? Right, because that's kind of one of the last things that we do is, in the bedtime routine, is I will go in and I pray with the children, and then what they don't know or don't see is, that evening before Charity and I go to bed, we're praying together for our kids and for each other. Right, so prayer is so important. And
I think, too, one of the reasons that we do kids' church and Sunday school the way we do here with the rotations of people, it's so that those adults are people that those kids can connect with, and they know that, like, those adults are people who have their back. They're adults who they can go to, they can talk to about situations and problems. So it's not just parents and grandparents praying for the kids, but, like, there's stuff that they've talked to with their Sunday school teachers or their kids' church teachers who know their hearts and can kind of pray for them, too. So it's kind of good that they know that there's a whole village of people praying for them, because, I mean, it really does take a lot of people to rally around your kids and help support you and them. So.
Right. I do like that. Yep. I like that. And if you've ever taught children's church, you know.
Thank you.
You know.
Especially on Donut Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Any other advice you'd give?
Yeah, I think it's the whole be the thermostat for your home. Mm. And moms, it's important that whether we like it or not, we set the tone for how our day is going to be with our kids. And there have been times where I have woke up in a really grumpy mood, and the next thing you know, I hear my kids bickering and arguing with each other, and I'm like, oh, crap, they just said something I just said, you know? And it's like, if we're not careful, we set the thermostat for what's going to happen in our homes that day. So we have to be careful and be mindful with our attitudes. And sometimes that's hard because we're like, you know what? I want to be in a bad mood, too, just because you get to be, you know? And I've said that to my kids. I'm like, I quit. I'm not going to be mom anymore. It's not fair that you get to have a temper tantrum and I can't. So here's my temper tantrum. Then I'm like, I look so stupid right now, you know? But, like, we set that thermostat for our kids, right, and we set that temperature in our homes, and we have to, you know.
Happy really, wife, happy life.
Yeah, you have to be careful about it because, you know.
Yeah. And it's not mom specific.
Mm-mm.
I think it's adult specific.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just something that is a pressure put on moms.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it just with me too, come in super stressed about just whatever, and then immediately the kids pick up on that stress and they get stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know why they're stressed, and they have this anxiety, and they're next thing you know, they're rolling around on the floor fighting one another. And if I would have just been able to say, or let it go, or mm-hmm. you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
or realized, hey, I am negatively affecting mm-hmm. everyone around me. And that's
skunk
really
thing. Are you the skunk?
Yeah,
in the room?
Yes. The skunk or the, everybody knows when I'm upset. I'm a skunk. You know, I've told you there's skunks and turtles. Skunks, that's me. Everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not just moms, but it's adults in the house.
Yep.
That's good. What else?
This is a hard one, I guess, to really embrace. It's still with the train up a child. But I think we forget that our kids are only ours for a short time, and that they're kind of on loan from God, and that they're not really ours. They're His. And yeah, we get to take care of them, and it's a huge responsibility that we have because we're in charge of shepherding their hearts, and we're in charge of leading them to that relationship with God, because one day we're not going to be here, and so we have to make sure that we teach them that, you know, He loves them even more than we love them, and sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our brains around, but He loves them even more than we ever could, and we just have to make sure that we understand that we are raising kids for Christ. And that we have this awesome responsibility, and it's our job to say, hey, you know, you're getting up, you're going to church today, and I don't care that you didn't sleep last night or that you're grumpy. That's where we're going to be, and there's a reason, and, you know, like, you are, you know, it's our job to shepherd them and point mm-hmm. them to Him because, you know, we're going to be gone one day.
Right, and I will tell you, there was, this is more Father's Day specific, but the very first church service I ever went to at when I was coming back to Christ, so after my rebellion, you know, and I'm coming back to Christ. The very first church service I ever went to was Father's Day. And the pastor said, and I quote, and I even said this back to him, and he's like, I had no idea I said that. Anyway, he said, children will love their mothers, but will follow their fathers to hell. And it just, I broke down. I didn't realize how much influence I had for them to follow my example. And then, so that's why training them up is so important, because you're absolutely right. One day we're not going to be here. And is there anybody in here that loves making decisions for their kids? Okay, me neither. But I want to train them up so that they can be viable adults, where they can make an educated decision. And what that means sometimes is we have to just give them to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, you know, especially our kids aren't there yet, but in the next season they will be. Mm-hmm. And they have to start making their own mistakes, and they have to start realizing what's good and what's bad, and learning from their mistakes. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to be painful to watch. But if we do our jobs and train them up the best that we can and keep pointing them back to God and praying for them and realizing that they're not ours, they're His, I think they're going to be okay.
I think, too, sometimes when they're little, you have to make every decision for them, and you have to do everything. You know, like, they depend on you for everything. So as they get older and you're loosening that control, and it's kind of a balance of when you give them a little more freedom versus when you're still holding on. And it's scary, especially in the teenage years. We have to kind of just trust God, trust that He has it. And here's a situation that happens in our house a lot. We have, obviously, firstborn, and he's a bossy one, and he wants to be in charge and in control of everybody, and he likes to tell everybody what to do and how they're going to do it and when they're going to do it. And
he's not in here. He did it when we got out of the car today.
Yeah, he was. It's been a rough morning. But anyway, so he decided he was he likes to be the boss. And there's been several times where I look at him and I'm like, Caleb, let me be the mom. You know, I've got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm in control. I've got this. I'll take care of them. You take care of you, and we'll be good. And one day I had said that to him, and then it was like God convicted me immediately, and he's like, hey, you should let me be God too. And I'm like, dang it. You know, like, he teaches you through your kids, you know? And it hit me, and I'm like, you know, how many times do I try to control situations and try to control things, or even just say, hey, God, I'm going to do this, okay? And you'll be good with that, right? And then you're going to bless it. That's not how it's supposed to go, you know? Like, we're not supposed to control everything. And I think he teaches you and grows you through your kids, and that was a huge slap in the face to me. It was like, all right, stop controlling everything. I've got it. Just let me handle it. You know, he knows more than we do.
I learn a lot when they act just like me and I get mad.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
For it.
Yes. You're punishing them for something you just did or said. And you're like, yeah.
Hello, hypocrite.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it happens. I think too, we have to set boundaries for them and guard their hearts, because at their age, they can't really, they don't really, I guess, know what's out there. You know, and it's scary, and how fast it trickles down. And we've learned this recently. You know, I won't go into details, but how quickly something so small spiraled into this huge thing that now we're going to deal with for years, because it just got out of hand really quickly. And we have to be sure that we set boundaries and we set guards for our kids. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. I mean, making rules and saying, this is how our family is going to be set up, and this is what we're going to do, and we're sticking with it. You know, I mean,
consistency.
Yeah, definitely. Consistency, you know, is definitely something. And we have to... they have to see that we're on the same page always. And we have charts at our house that we have hung up where it says, if then this, and there's Bible verses in the middle. So there's no question, if you commit this offense, this is exactly what's going to happen, whether it's dad here, mom here, whoever, because if not, they're going to weasel their way in and try to use us against each other. Like, well, dad didn't get onto me for that. But, you know, so like there's clear cut boundaries so they know what their expectations are, you know,
right.
And there's no wiggle room there, you know.
And then that definitely goes back to seasons too, because as they change and they transfer, the boundaries are going to be different. You know, my boundaries for my 12-year-old are not the same for your 16, 17-year-old, and not the same for a baby. Mm-hmm. So being able to be fluent or be fluid in that, and being able to change and to transfer that, those boundaries. And I mean, yeah, we give them just a little bit more. I guess this is how I was parented. My parents would give me just a little bit more to see if I was trustworthy. And didn't God do that? Didn't he give us just a little bit of something and see how faithful are you with it? And then if you're faithful with that, then okay, you'll have a little bit more. That's how I treat our kids. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if you can do this well, I'll give you a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Until they can't. You know, that's how we find their boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's just a little bit of advice of how to find your child's boundaries and where they're at.
They push them, they test them, you figure it out, and you, you know, kind of rein it in. And yeah. There's two things that someone told me once, and I thought it was awesome. They said, work yourself out of a job, because one day your kids are going to be on their own, and we're not raising toddlers. We're not raising little kids forever. You know, they do grow up, and if we constantly do everything for them, then they're never going to learn, and one day they're going to be having their own house, like, hey, Mom, how do I load the dishwasher, or, you know, whatever. So work yourself out of a job, and, like...
they'll be in our basement.
Oh, Lord, no. I don't know. No. But, I mean, seriously, you have to kind of teach them, because, and start them young. You know, like, our kids have cleaned bathrooms since they were two. You know, they were in there with us. So teach them how to do it, because you don't want to constantly be having to tell them how to do everything. Like, they don't know how to start the washing machine or do anything. You know, like, they should be able to be independent and take care of stuff, you know, at the house and be responsible, because it's not your mess. It's theirs, too.
And we joke,
you know,
with our kids. We tell them we had them so we didn't have to do as much work.
Yeah.
But honestly, like,
I think they really believe that. That's
there is a generation that is growing up right now that everything has been done for them, and that's not going to be a very productive generation. And we're trying to alter that. And we have three kids that God gave us, and we're trying to change that pattern. I don't know what happened, because my generation is one of them, but
I had a job at 15, and if I wanted something, I had to go work for it. You know, if I wanted a car, I had to go buy it. If I needed gas, I had to go buy it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying like my parents didn't help me, but I was accountable. And somewhere there's a gap there. So in parenting, we've got to figure out the now they don't do everything, but there's stuff they can do, and they hate it, but.
Yeah, we have two that are pretty good at it, and one says he's going to be rich and famous and live in a mansion and have a maid so that he has to do nothing. And,
but in case that doesn't work out,
in case that plan doesn't work, we're still teaching him about it.
Right.
How to take care of stuff. The other thing was praise more than you correct. And someone once told me to praise your kids 10 times more than you correct them, because what you say in that moment of correction will stay with them longer, and they will kind of put that extra pressure or dwell on that. So you have to make sure that you are balancing that with lots more praise, because they rise to the top if you're just praising them. And you can't always praise, you know, there's times you have to correct. But do it in love and make sure that you're praising 10 times more. And I have that written on the fridge, and I constantly look at it, because there's days where I'm like, all I've done is nag and harp all day. And then I'm like, hey, good job. You're really cute today. You're great. You did this. You know, and I have to think, okay, I've got to come up with more things to praise them for. Sometimes it's hard, but you have to think of stuff, because that's the stuff that shapes their hearts and shapes who they're going to be, and also shapes what they think about themselves. And if you're constantly negative and dwelling on the negative, then they're going to have that self-image, and they already have enough self-image problems. You know, they don't need that extra,
right,
you know, put on them. And then I think also I wrote down here, our kids have ups and downs just like us. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to make dumb decisions, because we did and we still do, you know, and they're sinners and they're on the same faith journey as we are, and they're just trying to be more like Christ. And our job as Christian parents is to guide them to the best of our abilities, and we have to stay in tune with God to know how to do that. You know, and I think that sometimes we can be like, why did you give me a child that is this stubborn and hard-headed and whatever? He didn't make a mistake. He knew exactly what he was doing. He gave you the child that he knew you needed, and he gave your child the parent that he wanted them to have. He didn't make a mistake. He knew
absolutely,
you know, exactly what he was doing, and he gave you, you're exactly the mom that your kid needs. It's, yeah, you know, kind of my point.
God doesn't make mistakes.
No, he doesn't.
He does things on purpose.
Yep.
All right, we need to wrap up.
Sorry. Okay, this is probably our last one, or a couple. You can't seek fulfillment from your spouse or from your baby. It's very easy, or your child. It's really easy when you're in that phase of, like, I really want a baby, and that's going to fill my hole, you know, that you feel, or this emptiness you feel inside. A baby's not a hole plugger, you know, and the only way to have your needs met is through Christ, and you have to stay complete in Him. And on your own, you're never going to be enough. You're never going to be able to do everything that, you know, He's called you to do, but you have to stay connected to Him. He's your power source. And I had Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And we're never going to be enough on our own, but we are enough because He's equipped us. And as long as we keep our minds focused on Him, we can take a bad day and we can turn it around really quickly by just keeping our mind on Him. We don't have to have it all together. Don't try to do it alone. I am hurrying, sorry.
No, you're right.
Reach out to other people. It's okay to embrace your hot mess self. We're all hot messes if we're really honest with each other. You know, we all don't have it together, but that's okay. We can embrace that.
I like the reaching out to other people.
Yeah, the reaching out to others. Like, we just did the IF gathering a few months back here, and this is something that we're going to do here. We're doing something called IF Table, and if you're interested in it, I'll kind of explain it and come see me afterwards. You can either lead one or you can be a part of one. But IF Table is all about getting together once a month with a group of women who are in different phases and stages of life, and saying, you know, let's do life together. Let's embrace the messy. Let's embrace the chaos. You can see my dust bunnies on my floor. It's okay. You know, like, just do life together. Because when we're real with each other and we kind of let down our guard, we can grow together. And everybody brings something different to the table and through that, you know, combination of people. So it's just getting together once a month for like an hour and saying, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what's going on with me. How can we help each other? So IF Table is really awesome at doing that. And that's something we're going to be starting here. We're going to have a couple different groups. If you want to be a part of it, come see me. I'll tell you all about it. But don't do it alone. Reach out to other people. And that's a, you know, good way to have other people support. Oh, and then the last thing I was going to say was give yourself permission to not be perfect. God gave us grace for a reason. Embrace that grace. Top knots and yoga pants are great, and they're okay at church. We don't care. Nobody's going to judge you, you know. Nobody cares what you look like. Your kids are not going to die if you've had McDonald's three times in one day. That's okay. You know, like, life will go on, you know. They're not going to remember the laundry piles and the dirty dishes. it's okay. So just kind of embrace the chaos, embrace the mess, and, you know, don't try to be perfect all the time. Just be real and reach out to other people.
Yeah. I think it's very important, and I'm wrapping up, that we don't ever, not even just parenting, but ever try to do life alone. Mm-hmm. You're not meant to do this alone. And I've said it 100 times. I don't know how people get through life without God. Actually, I know that they don't. God is there. They just don't recognize Him, or they don't accept Him or realize His will or His guidance. But through, I mean, I know where I would be right now without God. And that's a scary, dark place. And I know where I would be without a group of guys helping guide me or talk to me. Or there's just a group of people that I'm just completely transparent with. And I don't have to be something I'm not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm a pastor. God called me to preach. But I'm still a sinner. Mm-hmm. He didn't call me to that sin, but He's got grace to get me through it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes someone else to remind me, hey, don't worry about it. God's got grace. Now, that doesn't give me an excuse to continue sinning. But what I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That He just says, hey, God has forgiven you, so
forgive yourself.
Let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it go.
Yep.
And I don't think God was ever just looking down, especially in biblical times, like, do you see the dirt on her floor? Oh, my gosh. No, because they had dirt floors. All right. Well, is there anything else before I...
I don't think so.
Thank you so much for getting up here on stage. I know that was...
scary.
A little bit scary for you. She do okay? All right. This morning, I guess our message... is God is what you need. God will fill the holes that you have. And we've talked about hole pluggers, and that might just be kind of our own little nomenclature there, but God will fill that hole, that void that you feel, and He will make you enough, and He will equip you to get through this season, because I just pray, God, let me get through this season. Right? Just let me make it through this.
Through this hour, you know?
Right? He's enough. And you're not perfect. There's not a perfect mother out here. I was going to go through Jesus' mom and show you her imperfections and how she kind of nagged and did some other things. But I liked this better. Mm-hmm. I did. Give yourself permission to not be perfect. Okay?
We're all a hot mess, and it's okay.
Don't wallow in self-pity. But be okay with not being okay sometimes. And be okay with reaching out to other people. I love the idea of like a mom's group or if table. I'm a guy. I don't know what if table is. Whatever. I like that idea because then you're coming together and you're like, okay, here's where I'm at. What do you got? Mm-hmm. You got anything to help me? No? Okay, well, let's just pray for each other. Mm-hmm. Or, awesome, I can use that. We'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. No Man Is an Island is playing in my head right now, so that's just where I'm going with this. All right, moms, I hope you are encouraged this morning. I hope you are uplifted this morning. I hope that you realize how important your job is, but also realize there is someone there to help you, and that's the Lord. And there are other moms here willing to help you, so you don't have to do this alone. It literally takes a village to raise children. So let's pray.
I want to pray over them.
Oh, okay.
Moms, if you don't mind like standing up, or if you don't want to stand up, we're going to reach your hand out. I'd like to just pray over you guys right now, if you don't mind. All right, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all the moms that are represented in this room today. I thank you so much for just everybody who is here, and I pray for, or thank you for all the people who are like a mom, so all of us. And God, I just thank you that you have given us so many good examples, and that you are so faithful and just, and that your mercy is new every morning. And I thank you, God, that you love us in our hot mess, crazy yoga pants selves, and that you're okay with all of that. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, I thank you that through you we can be complete. And I just thank you for your example. I thank you so much for your son. I thank you for all these moms that are here today. I thank you for just all the blessings that they are. I pray that you will just help the moms to feel uplifted and encouraged today, and just know that they're enough because you're enough. And Lord, I just thank you and praise your name for all you've done, and we love you, Lord. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, I'm going to have the praise team come up here. You can set that down. The praise team's going to come back up. We're going to sing a song. We're going to stand. headphones on. I'm also going to have Les come up here as the elder. And I'll be up here, and Charity's going to be up here with us. If you have anything that you need prayer for, we're happy to pray with you. Again, if you don't want to come up and pray with us, you don't have to come forward to pray. There's nothing that says you have to come up here to pray. So if you want to pray from where you are, pray. Or if you need one of us to pray with you, we're available. So if you would, sing this song with us.